Please turn over to Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. And we'll read a couple of verses here. Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 and 7. As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him, rooted and built up in Him, and established in the faith, as you've been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Now let's walk through these two verses for a few moments. The word rooted is from the Greek word rizou, and it means to cause to strike root, to strengthen with roots, to render firm, to fix, establish, cause a person or a thing to be thoroughly grounded. Then you have built up. And built up, okay, I'm going to get really bold here and try this one. Epoikodomeo. And you know what? That's close enough. It means to build upon, to erect a superstructure. And then you have established. It's established in the faith, but established. And it's kind of an interesting word when you say it. At least I find it humorous almost. Bebeyao. Anyway, bebeyao. It means sure, fixed, to make firm. And it's kind of similar to 1 Corinthians 15:58. It says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. So then what you see is rooted, built up, and established in the faith. That is a process. Because if you're not rooted, you can't be built up. And if you're not built up, then you can't be established. But there's a qualifier. And it's right there in toward the end of verse 7. As ye have been taught. See that? So then, here I am born again. And the goal for me when I'm born again, have you ever met Christians? You know, I mean, we're talking people that truly trusted in Jesus Christ for salvation, but then they say things like to you, like, I don't even know if I'm saved. I don't even know. Okay, well, you know what? You need to sink your roots a little bit deeper so that you know you're born again. It's not based on how you feel. It's based on your faith in Jesus Christ. So, rooted. And then the built up, that's a process. To build upon. Build upon what? Well, to build upon that being rooted in Him. From that point, build upon it and to erect a superstructure. And then the word established. To make firm. To make firm. Unmovable. So I'm rooted, and then I have to go through, or should go through, the process of being built up. And then I get to the place of, from the built up, I'm established. And really, the ultimate level of established is fully conforming to the image of Jesus Christ. But the qualifier is, as you have been taught. Okay? So, if you haven't been taught much, then who knows if you feel confident in being rooted. And if you're not being properly taught, then you sure don't have the material for building. And if you're not building, there's no way you can be established. As you have been taught. Well, when he writes this, as you have been taught, in the broadest scope, who's he talking about doing the teaching? Well, that Paul wrote this, so he's talking about himself, but he would also be talking about the other apostles. So then, the I guess you could say the ideal situation is this, that I am rooted. I mean, you know, I may not always be in the best mood every day, but I know in whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I've committed unto Him until that day. How many of you remember that song? It's not just a verse, but it's a song. Okay, I remember that song. Okay, I guess I'm the only one. That's okay. So anyway, that's a process. I am born again. And then the building up part. Well, am I being built up? Depends on what I've been taught. But now this leads us into three reasons why sheep perish. Now in the Bible, pastors are referred to, well, the Greek word for pastor is poimen, it means shepherd. Pastors are referred to as shepherds. Jesus is referred to as the chief shepherd. So He's the shepherd of the shepherds, and then He has assigned shepherds to a congregation to shepherd them. And the people in the congregation are considered the sheep of that local pasture, but all Christians are considered in the pasture of the Lord, all right? And there are three primary reasons that sheep perish. The word perish, don't think it exclusively as in, you know, die, get buried, and so forth. I mean, it can mean that. And don't think exclusively of perish meaning I've just completely backslidden away from God and I'm living like the devil. It could mean that. But this perish, think of it this way, that their Christian life really does not develop at all. And they may live their whole life, if you will, barely rooted. So when you hear that word perish, don't think of complete annihilation. Okay, now, three reasons sheep perish. Let's take a look at what they are. First, Ezekiel 34. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel, 1, 2, 3, 4, 34.
Going too fast, Pastor.
Yeah, going too fast. All right. Ezekiel 34. Now, Ezekiel 34, everybody who thinks they are called to be a pastor, they had better read Ezekiel 34. They better read it, and they better take it to heart. Because this isn't simply about what was happening in the Old Testament. This is a prophetic declaration from God through the prophet Ezekiel to the body of Christ today. Now, we're not going to read all of Ezekiel 34 for the sake of time. We're only going to read the first four verses to get an idea of what God is talking about. So Ezekiel 34, verse 1. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Or we could say, today, the shepherds in the body of Christ. Prophesy and say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God unto the shepherds, Woe be to the shepherds of Israel that do feed themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flocks? You eat the fat, you clothe you with the wool, you kill them that are fed, but you feed not the flock. The diseased have you not strengthened, neither have you healed that which was sick, neither have you bound up that which was broken, neither have you brought again that which was driven away, neither have you sought that which was lost, but with force and with cruelty have you ruled them. Now we could, honestly, you could take the 34th chapter of Ezekiel and teach for months on this, breaking all this down in detail. Well, we're not going to do that today. We're not even going to start doing that today. But essentially what he's saying here is this. And what I find interesting, when I've read this and then here reading it again, he talks about prophesy against the shepherds. He doesn't say the priests or the prophets. He specifically says the shepherds. And this is one way we know that he's speaking not just then, but prophetically for today. And if you keep reading, it becomes very obvious that he's also making a reference to what's taking place in the body of Christ today. So what he's saying here is, you know, here you are, you're shepherding a flock, you know, part of my flock, a church. And yet you're more concerned with yourself than you are those who attend. Now, some people would take this and they would say, well, the pastor's got the responsibility to chase all over town trying to... No, that is not what he's saying here. That's not at all what he's saying here. And again, we're not going to, you know, really dig into a lot of detail. But he's saying, what the first thing he says is, woe to the shepherds, verse 2, that feed themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flocks? Yeah. Should, all right, that's the first thing he talks about, is feeding. They need to be feeding the flock. Okay, now, the first reason that sheep perish is the lack of a good shepherd. Now, I do not stand here and promote myself or present myself to you as being the epitome of the perfect shepherd. I absolutely don't. But what I will say is this. I don't think I'm doing too much of the verses 1 through 4 stuff. You understand what I'm getting at? And I do try to feed the sheep. And it's not just me, but it's whoever stands up here. We do try to feed the sheep. Now, from that perspective, I would say that I am not the best shepherd. And I don't profess that, but I would say that I am a good shepherd. Now, you say, well, I don't think so. Then why are you here? What are you doing? I just come to find out how bad you are. That's weird. So I really can't say that anybody in here who... Well, okay. You know, I've been here a long time. Anybody who messes up, I can't say that it's because they didn't have a good shepherd. Maybe not the best, but, you know, they had a good shepherd. Now let's talk about the second reason that sheep perish. Turn over to Hosea. Ezekiel, Daniel, Hosea. You say, why do you do that, Brother Martin? Because there are too many people who don't know the books of the Bible. Seriously. I mean, when I was in Sunday school, you know, you had to memorize the books of the Bible and then stand up in your class and repeat them. And when you did, they gave you a Bible. I still have that Bible. Nevertheless, Hosea chapter 4, verse 6. My people are destroyed or perish for lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me. Seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, I will also forget thy children. Well, again, you could go through this whole chapter and, you know, just dig through this. But the point we want to take a look at, therefore thou shalt, or he says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee. Okay, now, this lack of knowledge, this is interesting. Because it's not simply a lack of being in a church where there is no contextual teaching. That could be a part of it. Absolutely, it could. But it's also a matter of not applying what is taught. That's what he means here, that thou hast rejected knowledge. Well, you can't reject what's not presented to you. You understand that? So as far as being in a church where knowledge or truth is taught in a contextual way, you have it. I mean, I can tell you now, you have it in this church. There are a lot of churches out there where almost every week it's just a lot of, you know, thumping and shouting and, you know, emotion-driven preaching to stimulate the emotions of the listeners. And the more the emotions are stirred, the more the people think we had a great service. I have an extremely difficult time imagining Jesus ministering that way. I can't see him, you know. I got news for you. I am the I am. Oh, glory, glory. Oh, consider the lilies of the field. Come on now. Come on. Okay, I can't see him doing that. I'm sorry. That totally escapes me. You need teaching. Now, every now and then, yeah, it's not wrong to have one of those go get 'em sermons. That's not wrong. But when that's a steady diet, okay, you need some vegetables. Isn't that right, Elaine? You need some vegetables. And Elaine, he said, what? Yeah. Taters and carrots, beans and peas, green peas, sweet peas. Oh, hallelujah. And some steak. Yeah, all right. Come on, Brother Martin. Maybe some pork chops. All right. Fried chicken. In other words, you need teaching. Line upon line teaching. Well, here you get that. Now, what you do with it, that's totally up to you. It's presented to you, but you can reject it. Now, I can tell you safely that over the years, I can tell some people, they haven't received the teaching as it was presented. How do I know? Just the way some people talk. Well, what is the third reason? The second reason that sheep perish? A lack of knowledge. Third reason, turn to Proverbs 29. Proverbs 29. And here in Proverbs 29, verse 18, where there is no vision, the people perish, but he that keepeth the law, happy is he. Well, today it would be he that keeps the word. You know, Jesus, Matthew 4:4, live by every word that proceeds forth from the mouth of God. Where there is no vision, the people perish. Now, this is interesting because some people would take that and turn it into something that it's not. Well, you know, have you had a vision lately? Say, well, no. Well, then, you know, you must be a backslider. No, that's not what this is talking about. This whole thing of a vision, another way to say it would be comprehending and understanding where you fit in the Word of God. Where you fit in the kingdom. Now, I'm going to point some things out to you about this. Look over in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Because what we're going to be identifying right now, this whole concept of a lack of a vision, I truly believe it's going to hit home for a lot of people listening to this. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. Another way to say that would be, say, the moving of the Holy Spirit, or as the Holy Spirit moves upon every believer, it's for the benefit of the body of Christ. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another divers kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. Okay, now, are you born again? Yes, Brother Martin, I'm born again. Or, you know what? Then you qualify to be used by the Holy Spirit in one of these gifts. You're qualified because you're born again. Now, granted, it helps if you're filled with the Holy Ghost. You understand what I'm getting at? But if you're born again, you're qualified for this because it's a moving of the Holy Spirit on the individual believer. Not the individual pastor. Okay, so then, right now you need to understand that those of you, I'm assuming everybody in here is born again, you are qualified to be used by the Holy Spirit in the gifts of the Spirit, as He wills. Now, in this same chapter 12, Look in verse 27. Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular, or all believers compose the body of Christ, and they each one is a member in particular. And then he says, and God has set some in the church. First apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. Very, very briefly and simply, this is talking about the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher, helps, governments, and the foundation for all of that would be praying in tongues. Not teaching on all of that today. Done it before. But now what that means is this. Every single person in the body of Christ, every single person, every one of you, you fit into this category. You're one of these, at least one. This is you, every one of you. Now, let's take a look in Mark chapter 16. Mark chapter 16. And in Mark chapter 16, read verses 17 and 18. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Now turn to John chapter 14. And in John chapter 14, take a look at one verse. Verse 12. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. This is Jesus speaking. Okay, so now here's what we have. You have the gifts of the Spirit, identified there in 1 Corinthians 12. You also have the ministry callings, identified in 1 Corinthians 12. Then in Mark 16 and in John 14, what you see are believers doing the works of Jesus. Nowhere does Jesus say, if you believe in me, if you pastors believe in me, or if you evangelists believe in me. No, he said, if you, believers, I go unto the Father to make it possible for you to do the works that I have done. That's every single person hearing this. Every person in the body of Christ. So here's what we have. You, every one of you, you are qualified to be used by the Holy Spirit in the gifts of the Spirit. Now, if you don't believe that, then you lack vision. Because you do not think, for whatever reason, you do not think that the Holy Spirit would use you in these gifts. I'm too dumb. I'm too uneducated. I don't stand behind the pulpit. I really don't think I'm qualified. Okay, then what qualifies you? What is your standard for qualification? We see the standard in Scripture for qualification, but what's your standard? When you say, but I don't feel qualified, why? I mean, you better come up with a really good answer as to why God's wrong and you're right. Because this is a move of the Holy Spirit, and if you're born again, you're qualified to be used. Well, yeah, but I ran a stop sign yesterday. Come on. You know what? You're grasping at straws. The bottom line is, you do not want to accept the reality of what God has said in here. You can be used by the Holy Spirit in His gifts. And if you don't believe that, then why in the world would He ever use you? Now, you can't force His hand. You can't say, all right, now listen, Holy Spirit, got church tomorrow. Yeah, I better get the word of wisdom. Okay, it doesn't work like that. But when you live every day of your life with the belief, Holy Spirit, I know you can use me. And if you use me today, praise God. And if you don't, that's all right, because it's according to the will of God that you minister by in each believer. If you don't believe He's going to do that, why should He do that? Okay, a bunch of you in here are married. Now, for you men that are married, why did you ask her to marry you? Why did you do that? I can tell you why.
Oh, because I love her.
Yeah. But you had to say something, right? You had to say something like, come on, baby, let's get hitched. Or, you know, I mean, you had to say something. And the reason you said that was because you believed she'd say yes, right? All right. You're qualified to be used by the Holy Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit. You need to be more confident of that than you were the day you asked her to marry you. Now, the ministry callings, 1 Corinthians 12, 27 through 28, every single one of you. Every single one of you. Every single one of you. You're called to be an apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher, helps governments, okay? You're called to be one of those, at least one of those, at least one. That's your calling. Now, if you don't believe that, then why in the world should God reveal to you your calling? Now, he might and just say, hey, get with it, will you? This is what I've called you to be. You're lagging behind. Now, I don't know if he'd do it like that or not, but if you don't believe that you have one of these callings, why not? Why do you not believe that God would use you like this? Well, because I didn't go to seminary, and I didn't do this, and I didn't do that, and I don't think I'm qualified. Going back to that, are you? You know why you're qualified? Hear me now. You know why you're qualified? Because that calling comes from God, not from man. Man will tell you, seriously? You think you can be, you know, an evangelist? Come on, you're a jerk. You can't be an evangelist. No, man will tell you all kinds of reasons why you can't. You got churches out there that'll tell you, you can't be a pastor. You can't be a pastor in our church, in our denomination. Yeah, well, why not? Because you don't have a doctorate. You know, there are churches that'll tell you that. I've seen it in writing. You know what? Those churches are fools. That means they wouldn't even let Jesus be their pastor. Well, he was a man without letters. They wouldn't let Peter or John be their pastors because they were ignorant and unlearned men. But they've been with Jesus. Okay, see, you have a calling on your life. And you can say, well, I just go ahead and make all the excuses you want. Okay, it ain't going to happen. It ain't going to work with God. It's just not. And when you stand before him and he says, we need to talk about something. Do you realize I had the ministry calling of whatever on your life? What are you going to say? No, you didn't. What are you going to say? Here, think of it like this. You know, all of what I've shared so far, and then the whole aspect of the works I do, you can do also. In Mark 16, you know, cast out devils, lay hands on the sick. And so, the reason people don't do any of this, the reason that it's just the same old, week after week after month after year, the reason it's like that is because they don't have the vision that God's talking about them when he describes all of this. They don't believe it. We've got people in this church, that's you, I'm talking, you are like that. You do not believe this. You are not convinced of this. And yet this is the word of God, not the word of some old preacher. Some young preacher. Okay, let's say that somebody's called to be a teacher. I mean, I don't mean they just volunteer. I mean, God's called them to be a teacher. And yet, his calling on them to be a teacher is such to where he wants them teaching five-year-olds in a Sunday school class. That's what he wants them to do. Do you know the anointing required for that teacher to teach those five-year-olds is just as important and powerful as the anointing on the evangelist preaching to 80,000 people in a stadium? Amen. There's no difference. There is no difference. None. Because God wants those five-year-olds taught under that anointing that will impact their little hearts, their little spirits, and their little minds for the rest of their lives. And that anointing on that teacher in that Sunday school class, it is just as powerful as it is for that evangelist. The difference is how it manifests through the individual. But the anointing is still the same. Absolutely the same. And you have too many Christians that kind of don't feel like it's important for them to press into God for the anointing of teaching the 5-year-olds or the 8-year-olds or the teenagers, or I don't know what it would be. Well, you're missing God. And here's why. Because you haven't captured the vision of you being this, of all of these, the gifts of the Spirit, the ministry callings, and doing the works of Jesus. You haven't captured the vision. You know, when you go through and you read in the New Testament, you need to understand, or try to, you know, grasp this, ask the Holy Spirit to help you see this, that a lot of the people God used, they weren't fully perfected at the time. Consider Peter. Silver and gold have I none, such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. And it wasn't a whole lot longer after that, you know, Peter, kill and eat. Not so, Lord. I've never soiled my innards with unclean food. And God says, don't you call unclean what I call clean. See that? Oh, he had a lot to learn. Remember what Paul said about Peter? Oh, everything's going fine. You know, here we're all ministering, having a good old time until those from James showed up. And then Peter separated himself. And Paul said, Peter, what is wrong with you? We're delivered from this. My paraphrase, all right? God was using people who weren't fully perfected. But here's the key. They were pressing toward the perfection. They were in the process of that building. You see what I'm saying? So again, the third reason sheep perish is lack of a vision. This is one of the, well, in a church like this one, this is one of the major challenges, is getting people to understand, to capture that vision. Yeah, but you know how old I am, Pastor? Gee whiz. You know, I'm kind of guessing God forgot about your age. What? You think when you hit 70, that's it? You're supposed to retire? Uh-uh. No way. You're supposed to live by that calling, that anointing, until the trumpet sounds. And it's getting Christians to accept this vision. That is a major challenge. And so what that kind of leads into is you basically have 4 levels of Spirit-filled Christians. And I'll give them to you. Number 1, inconsistent attendance and no consistency in prayer, fasting, worship, and the Word. Now, for those of you watching, you need to understand, I realize there are a lot of you out there where you live, you can't find a good church to attend. So, you use our church, or maybe you use Pastor Bronk's church in Florida, or there's another church, an online church that you're a part of. I understand that. So, you have to accept or understand, receive this teaching in light of what you're currently experiencing. And it works out. So, level number 1 of Spirit-filled Christians, inconsistent attendance and no consistency in prayer, fasting, worship, and the Word. Level number 2, somewhat regular attendance, you know, kind of hit or miss, but no consistency in prayer, fasting, worship, and the Word. Somewhat regular attendance, but no consistency in prayer, fasting, worship, and the Word. Level number 3, very regular attendance, but no consistency in prayer, fasting, worship, and the Word. Very regular attendance, but no consistency in prayer, fasting, worship, and the Word. Now, I may be way off base here, and if I am, I'm glad I am. But I think level 3 is where the majority of the people are in this church. And see, because I said majority, that you don't know if I'm talking about you or the person next to you. I think that's where most of you are. You want to know why? In part, it's because, folks, please don't get mad at me. Because we can't have revival, the kind of revival God wants. We got to get our lives in order here. All of us. All right? That's what this is about. There are a lot of people in a church like this, they ride the coattails of the pastor. But you can't live on somebody else's faith. You can't. All right? You're going to have to grow on your own. So level three, regular attendance, but no consistency in prayer, fasting, worship, and the Word. Level four, very regular attendance and consistency in prayer, fasting, worship, and the Word. Very regular attendance and consistency in prayer, fasting, worship, and the Word. Now, I do understand that when you're talking about prayer, fasting, worship, and the Word, what we refer to as the four pillars of spiritual growth, you may be stronger and more consistent with the Word. When I say the Word, I'm talking reading, meditating, confessing, everything that falls under that umbrella of the Word. You may be stronger in that than you are in the prayer. Or you might be stronger in the prayer than the worship. Or you might be stronger in the fasting than the worship or the other. You see what I'm getting at? But there's a degree of consistency in doing this. Some days you pray more than other days. Stuff happens. Some days you read more Bible than other days. But there's consistency. You fight for that consistency. Okay, level four is where we're after. And here's the thing. Those who are consistent in prayer, fasting, worship, and the Word, they are not going to be inconsistent in attendance. And they're not going to be somewhat regular in attendance. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is going to lead them to the place of the body of Christ needs you. The local flock needs you. Even though you don't think you have anything to offer, you don't understand. I'm in you, and I will work through you. The church needs you. You'll understand that. Now, if all you do is attend, and you're not consistent in prayer, fasting, worship, and the Word, then you know what? Keep attending. I mean that. Keep attending and avoid the sin. You know, I don't have to tell you, well, what is sin? Come on, if you don't know that by now, plus you've got that conscience of the new nature on the inside. If you're not going to get into, be consistent in the prayer, fasting, worship, and the Word, then and all you do is attend, then glory to God, praise the Lord, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. Because that's a whole lot better than backsliding. So be here. Be here, all right? Be here. Come on. At least be here. Because it's possible that at some point in time, you might get motivated. And you might start doing, you know, a little more prayer, fasting, worship, and the Word. You just might. I don't know. But don't leave. Don't go. Be here. Don't change the channels. Okay? Keep watching. Be encouraged in this. Look over in Matthew chapter 18. See, sometimes what's happening is this. You know, we want this, and oh God, I want an anointing, and I want to be used, and so on and so forth. But too often, we're asking for an anointing that is greater than we're prepared to receive. Because you have to be conditioned spiritually to receive a greater anointing. You're rooted, but you're not yet ready for an established anointing. You understand the imagery here? So it's not wrong to want the anointing. And I guess really another way to say that would be, Father, you know, just, I want to be increasingly anointed as I continue to press into you. Have you ever considered the possibility that right now in your life, you are as anointed of the Holy Spirit as you can possibly be? It's totally based upon your spiritual growth. Well, in Matthew chapter 18, look at verse 1. At the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus called a little child unto him, and set him in the midst of them, and said, Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted, and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Now, they want to know who's the greatest in the kingdom. They're assuming they're already in the kingdom, or they wouldn't ask that question. The question would be, how do we get into the kingdom? You see that? But they assume they're in the kingdom. And Jesus says, hold on. Because except you be converted and become as little children, you won't even enter into the kingdom. So what's he talking about, converted? You have to be born again. That's what he said, John chapter 3. You must be born again to get into the kingdom of heaven. And then he says, become as little children. Well, converted and become as little children, he's basically talking about the same thing. Be born again, and when you're born again, you are a babe in Christ. Meaning you're starting life all over again, if you will. And then he says, wherefore, Or whosoever, therefore, whosoever what? Whosoever has been converted and born again as a little child in the kingdom. Whosoever has done that, therefore, shall humble himself as this little child, the same will be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. What does that mean? That means you never get to the place of thinking yourself more highly than you ought. You stay humble. Staying humble means you stay teachable. Oh my goodness, there's so many Christians out there, they are not teachable. They've reached a point where that's it. And they think they know so much, and they'll criticize you, and they won't use Scripture to do so. Or at least they won't use it contextually. Refusing to mortify the flesh and grow spiritually, that means you will never, ever, ever be used by God in the fullness of His outpouring and revival. I mean, it just won't happen. I mean, He'll use you as much as He can, but He won't be able to use you to the fullness. Mortifying the flesh and, you know, humbling yourself as a little child, staying humble like that, it's a matter of being built up, of receiving and applying what is taught. And if you look over in Luke chapter 9, you know, part of humility is bringing the desires of self into subjection to the desires of God. That's greatness in the kingdom. And if you look here in Luke chapter 9, start in verse 23. And he, Jesus, said to them all, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. For what is a man advantaged if he gain the whole world and lose himself or be cast away? Now, as he's talking in here, whoever will deny himself, what does that mean? That means, you know, like John wrote, John the Baptist, you know, I must decrease, he must increase. And we sang earlier, you know, all of you, none of me, and so forth. Okay, deny yourself, meaning what I want isn't as important as what he wants. You deny yourself, you take up your cross. What is your cross? Well, very briefly, the mortification of the flesh and all of the, I want to do this, I'm going to go, you know, your thing. Then you can follow him. And he says, whosoever will save his life, shall lose it, but whosoever will lose his life for my sake, he says, you're going to save it. And then he talks about, you know, where's the advantage if you gain the whole world and lose yourself or be cast away? Where's the advantage? What does it mean to gain the whole world? Well, that's, you know, a lot of imagery there. However, think of it like this. Gaining all the goals that you have set for yourself in life, all the natural desires that you have. Meaning, you wait and see, I'm going to have myself a big house someday. I mean, the day is coming Well, I'm going to have myself a 6,000 square foot, 8,000 square foot. You wait and see. I'll have it. You wait and see. The day is coming when I'm going to be driving a super-powered Corvette. You just wait. Okay, you understand what I'm getting at. What he's saying here is this. When you have those goals and that's what you're working toward, you're going to lose out. And he says the whole thing about being cast away. What he's telling you here is this. You can become so focused on what you want that you completely drift away from Jesus. He's giving a warning here. And so, yeah, listen, there are a lot of things in life that I've wanted to have, that you've wanted to have. But we have to come to the place of, like the Apostle Paul wrote, I've learned to be content in whatever state. So contentment does not mean, ooh, I sure do love this. No, it means I'm content. You know, I'd like to have different, I'd like to have better, but I am content in what I have. Too many Christians don't have this. And this is a part of growing and maturing in God. I mean, unless you're meeting these qualifications, all right, then we're not going forward here. Last Sunday, all of this that I've shared so far is leading up to this right now. Last Sunday, for those of you who were here, handed out a sheet of paper, all right, and I gave you a pen if you needed one. And I told you to write down a number of different categories. And then after you had those categories written down, I said, beside that category or that subject, you're to write, what did I tell you to write? Comfortable. I'm thinking ahead here. Comfortable or more. If somebody approaches you and asks you a question, well, the first one that I'll mention, you know, born again. What does it mean? What is born again? If you're comfortable making reference to Scripture to explain what is born again, that means you cannot use on any of these subjects, you cannot say, well, I think, or my opinion. You can't use any of that. It is forbidden. You can only make reference to Scripture. That doesn't mean you're quoting chapter and verse through the whole New Testament. But if you can say, well, you know, in the Gospel of John, it says, or you can say John 3:16, or what I mean, whatever it is. But if you're comfortable enough explaining to somebody, not preaching for an hour and a half, but explaining to somebody what is born again, then you write comfortable. But if you don't think you know enough from the Word of God to be able to explain to somebody what comfortable is or what born again is, then you write more. You understand that? You write more. Doesn't mean that, well, I'm not comfortable standing up in front of 1,000 people. No, that wasn't it. It was one-on-one type situation. Okay? And so I took all those sheets of paper. I told you don't put your name on them, and you were obedient. And I began compiling the mores and the comfortables. And let me just read the statistics to you. Okay? Born again. One person wrote more. One person wrote more. Baptism of the Holy Spirit. Every one of these, they're mores, okay? Baptism of the Holy Spirit, 20% wrote more. New nature versus sin nature, 20% wrote more. Forgiveness, 25% wrote more. Praying in tongues, 25% wrote more. Healing, 25% wrote more. Praise and worship, 25% wrote more. Faith, 30% wrote more. Confession of God's Word, 30% wrote more. Giving, as in giving in offerings, 40% wrote more. Water baptism, 50% wrote more. Finding your calling, 60% wrote more. Now, when I compiled all of this and I'm looking at it, keep in mind, we don't have a whole lot of newbies here. You understand this? Almost everybody here attending, you've been around for years. Most everybody here, you've been around for, what, 20 years or more? And so when I saw all of this, one of the first thoughts that rose up in my mind was, what in the world have I been doing since February 21st, 1999? What have I been doing? Because apparently, I mean, the feelings of I have failed. I failed. Because from my perspective, the way I teach and the others that stand here and teach, okay, I could expect to see a few mores here and there. But these percentages? Seriously? You talk about throwing me a curve. It did. It bothered me. Because I'm thinking, what could I have done better that would help you be able to sit down with your best friend or anyone else and just in 15 minutes, 20 minutes, explain from the Word of God what all of these mean, what all these are talking about. I just sat back and thought, wow, what? Okay. You know what? That's the way it is. And what I mean is, these statistics are these. That's why I didn't want you to put your name on here. Because I didn't want, anyway. These percentages, these statistics, they are what they are. And me standing here talking about them is going to change it. Because it is what it is. But to be blunt, every single one of you, well, almost all of you, should be able to explain to somebody with just referencing three or four passages of Scripture to explain what these mean. All of you. And every single one of you should be at the point, again, I'm sorry, most all of you, the majority of you, I mean, you ought to be in a place now to where you are comfortable praying for somebody to be filled with the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues and not feel like you got to bring them here for me to do that. You should be at that place. And if you're not, what's going on? Now, I'm not trying to stomp on your toes. I'm trying to help you understand. If we want revival and outpouring and so forth, we've got to be ready for this. We've got to be ready. Because you need to understand or realize a lot of people that would come in and they hear something taught and they need a little bit more, you know, information about it, there's a really good chance they will never come to me. They'll go to you. I heard Pastor talking about, water baptism today. I mean, what exactly, why should people get baptized? You ought to be able to answer that. I mean, first and foremost, because Jesus said so over there in Matthew, baptizing them in the name of the Father. You see how simple this is? Okay, you ought to be able to do that. Because a lot of folks, they're not going to contact me. Because, well, he's the pastor. I mean, everybody knows that it doesn't matter what the church, no one can approach the pastor. That's, a lot of people think that. You ought to be ready, okay, now. Going forward, Hebrews, I'm going to read this to you. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12. For when the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. Do you realize every one of those categories that I had you write down, every one of those are entry-level subjects for the body of Christ? Every single one of them. Every single one of them. Milk. Now, I have begun the process of helping you. Okay? For example, the praise and worship. After all the praise and worship that we've had here in our church, good glory to God. It's great here. And all the prophecies. And all the teaching. Okay? This should be a no-brainer. But apparently, you need some help. So you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to help you. You see this right here? It says, experiencing God through worship. See that? It has eight categories. The connection between worship and revival. Presence and revival. A mighty weapon. Talking about praise and worship. Worship, glory, and revival. The believer's responsibility. Praise to enter in. The fruit of our lips. Sing a new song. Why Satan hates worship. Every single one of those subjects in here are covered in detail with a lot of scripture. There are, I don't know how many prophecies we've had about praise and worship in here. And the very last section here in the back, pretty much every verse from Psalms about praise, worship, singing unto the Lord, blessing the Lord, and so forth. Now, I'm making these available to you if you want them. If you don't want them, that's okay. Because see, this whole thing of knowledge, I'm presenting to you knowledge, and what you do with it is totally up to you. But I will say this. Now I'm warning you, okay? If you want one of these, then first off, you ought to at least have the integrity to read through it. I mean, it's not that thick. You ought to have the integrity to read through it. But know this, whether you read it or not, once you ask for this and it's in your hands, from that moment forward, you are accountable before Almighty God for praising and worshiping Him. And if you don't break through in our services, I don't know what to tell you. Because if some of you, you are still bound up when it comes to worshiping the Lord. So now, you say, well, I want one of those, Brother Martin. Okay, here's how you get one. Here are, like little green slips of paper. Now here's what you do. If you want one of these, I'll put it right over here so you can look at it and say, You take one of these little green slips of paper and it says name. That means you put your name on there. You don't write somebody on there you think ought to get one of these. No, you put your name if you want one. And then right under the line where you put your name, okay, it says please print. I don't want hieroglyphics. I don't want you writing in tongues. Just please print. And then what you do is take that little slip of paper and you put it in this offering plate. Okay? You say, well, Brother Martin, how much are these? I'm not going to charge anything. This is totally up to you. I mean, if you want to give something extra for the binder and whatever, I haven't even ordered those binders because I thought, why should I order them when I don't know how many to order? So you put those in. You tell me, you order the, if you want this now. No pressure. If you don't want one, I'm not going to be upset with you. It's okay. You know, that's fine. It's up to you. You may not think you need one. That's okay too. No pressure. It's just a tool that's being made available to you. And what I'll probably do this afternoon is put in the order for all the binders so that hopefully next Sunday they're all going to be ready and available for you. That's what you want to do for that. Now, taking it a step further. Look over in Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10, verse 17. So then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Pretty simple, right? We can quote that, but if you're not hearing, then guess what? It ain't happening. Now look in 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Pretty simple. And then chapter 3, verse 16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Why is that? That the man of God, the believer, the Christian, may be perfect, spiritually mature, and thoroughly furnished or spiritually equipped unto all good works. Everything God wants you to do. Pretty simple. And then if you look in 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 3. Verse 15. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Well, why do you have a hope that confessing God's word is going to do any good? Well, you should be, I mean, he's telling you right here. You need to be able to give an answer. And you don't, the answer is not, well, because my pastor said so. You know, and he's the man, all right? No. No. 20 years ago, I taught a course entitled Laying the Foundations. 20 years ago. And here's how it worked. We would show up on a Sunday morning. This is before the pre-service worship. This was the precursor to pre-service worship. We met downstairs in the fellowship hall. And I would teach laying the foundations. There were 18 subjects. Each subject had four lessons. And those lessons were taught consecutive Sundays, Sunday morning. 45 minutes. That was it. I mean, pretty strict on that 45 minutes. And there were handouts. And the handouts were fill in the blank. So as I was teaching, and I would, you know, speak the word that goes in the blank, well, then you write the word down. And you had binders. So when it was all over with, you had yourself a resource that you could use to study to show yourself approved, to be ready to give the answer, the scriptures. All of that was there. All of that was there. It was available to you. Well, Hebrews 5:12. For when the time you ought to be teachers, you need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong drink. So, that's what I'm going to have to do. I'm going to have to go back and do this. Now, here's what's going to happen. Starting on Sunday morning, all Sunday mornings, starting Sunday, September 7th, I'm going to begin reteaching the laying the foundations. And here's how it's going to work. We'll have the pre-service worship as usual. It's going to start about 9:45. The first lesson will start at 10:30. I will come up and begin teaching at 10:30. If you're not here at 10:30, then I don't know what to tell you. Because I'm not going to go back and reteach, and I'm not going to be doing much review at all for each of these lessons. And the reason September 7th is to give you time between now and then to do whatever you need to do. Be sure you get here, sit down, and ready to go no later than 10:30. I mean, this, you're going to have to work it out. You say, well, I can't do that. Okay, what time do you have to be at work on Monday? Well, I've got to be there at 8 o'clock. Okay, we're giving you until 10:30. Gee whiz. If we start at 8, that mean you'd be here on time? So, the first lesson will be from 10:30 to 11:15. We'll then have praise and worship from 11:15 to 11:45. And then the second lesson will be from 11:45 to 12:30. We'll be getting two of those lessons in per Sunday. So each subject is only going to take 2 weeks to teach it. Now, parents with children, I know that we have some like that. How you work this out is up to you. But one parent could be in the nursery for the first lesson. Now, remember, the TV's down there. So you can fill out as you're down there with the kid. I know kids act up sometimes, but, you know, that just put them in a sleeper holder. No, don't do that. No. Do not do that. I'm joking. Terrible joke, all right? Erase that. But then when the first session is over, you can trade. Whoever was in the nursery can come up to the sanctuary, and the sanctuary can... You understand what that means? Good. And not only that, but I will have new binders ready for you to order if you want one. Now, you're not ordering those binders today. Today, if you want, you're ordering this Experiencing God Through Worship notebook. And the information in that notebook, it will be covered somewhat when we get into the section of praise and worship in the laying the foundations. So now, what I would like is Brother Elaine and Brother Barry, make sure everybody gets one. Thank you. That beautiful, bright paper, why, there's no way you can miss this. Tape it to your refrigerator or your windshield or something. But I want you to have this. I want you to know, because when I say start at 10:30 on Sunday mornings for the teaching, I mean that. I'm Okay, maybe 10:33. Okay. But what I'm getting at is, this is what we're doing. Now, for those of you watching, a moment ago, I held up this notebook, Experiencing God Through Worship. If you want this document, send me an email, and I will send this entire document to you as a PDF that you can download and print if you want. Now, obviously, I can't, you know, send you an email with the notebook, but you can get a notebook on your own if you want, any office supply store. And as far as the laying the foundations are concerned, those of you who are watching this, I'm going to be, if you're on the email list, you're going to be getting an email from me announcing the laying the foundations. And if you want, you can reply to the email and sign up to receive these lessons prior to the Sunday they are taught. So what that means is Thursday or Friday, I'll send out an email. It will have as a PDF attachment the two lessons that I will be teaching on that Sunday. And every week I'll be sending these to you. As far as a notebook is concerned, again, that's one that you'll have to get on your own. The notebooks that we'll be using for laying the foundations are the 1.5-inch notebooks, the thicker ones. This one up here for the Experiencing God Through Worship, those are 1-inch notebooks. So all this is going to start on Sunday, February the 7th. And we'll go through it. So what did I say? February. Oh, no, we're going to start in September. Okay. It will start September the 7th. And again, it may sound like I'm beating a dead horse. When I come in here for praise and worship and so forth, I don't turn around and take attendance. I don't know who gets here on time and who doesn't, all right? I don't look for that. I'm just telling you, you've got between now and September 7th to work everything out so that you're here, sitting down, and ready to start. And when you come in on Sunday mornings, a table back there in the rear of the sanctuary is going to have the lessons for the week, and then it may have previous lessons there if you need to catch up or something. Now, one of the advantages of all of this is the fact that the foundations will be now video recorded, high-quality video, and we'll have high-quality audio. And this is going to be very important because in the future, we'll be able to take all those videos, put them on a thumb drive, and send them wherever for people to teach. Okay? Now, this means that for several months, things are going to be different on our Sunday mornings. The Sunday night, Wednesday night, okay, as it has been. But on Sunday morning, it's going to be different for a while. But you know what? And I've been dealing with this myself, talking to God about it. I've shared with you before that this is more training center than church, but due to my slackfulness, I've allowed it to become more church than training center. Okay, that's on me. Hopefully, and I've asked God, give me wisdom, show me, you know, I need more clarity on all of this. Well, this is part of that clarity. Because we need to be ready. Okay, think of it this way. Let's say that, you know, the revival, it breaks out, spreads throughout the Miami Valley. Do you realize it's possible that this, right here, we might be the only church that can teach something like the foundations to the new believers? That there may not be another church in this region that does this. Now, I'm not saying there isn't. I'm just saying, what if? What if? And we all, see, once I teach this, my expectation is that some of you are going to be ready to stand up and teach it yourself. You'll have the outline. You'll have all the fill in the blanks done. You should be ready. So anyway, that's what's going on. Now, between now and September, I don't know. Well, I just don't know what the Lord's going to have me minister between now and then, but it might be additional teachings preparing us for the foundation. So anyway, glory to God. Everybody stand. If you have any questions about all this, just let me know. I'll do my best to answer accurately.